Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Marcy Timron, Executive Director of Mental Health America of Kentucky. They are based here in Lexington, Kentucky, over off Reynolds Road, just across the street, down the street, I guess you would say, from Fayette Mall. Would encourage you to check out their website, mhaky.org. That's mhaky.org. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we have been talking about that. That's why we started Hope Is Here, to help people that are just, you know, on the verge of losing hope and not wanting to live anymore. And we've had two good programs just talking about simple ways that you can have hope. So if you missed our first two programs, they're only 14 minutes long, I want to encourage you to go to our website. That's hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Yesterday's program was a lot of fun, no pun intended, as we talked about humor and how humor in circumstances of life can lift your moods with laughter and help people deal better and overcome difficult experiences in their life. But today, I want to talk about the spiritual side of people that helps with mental health awareness. And, research shows, and you guys have done a lot of it. You've been doing this over 70 years now. In fact, this is the 70th celebration of Mental Health Awareness Month. Talk about the role that spirituality, religion plays in having good mental health, Marcy.
Alrighty. Well, and it's important to see ourselves as a whole person, right? Health is all-encompassing. It's not just one piece of you. Like, if your brain is broken, it's broken, right? And the rest of you is going to hurt and suffer in some way. Same thing if you have a heart attack, right? The rest of you is going to hurt and suffer in some way. We see spirituality as a major part of mental health wellness. And spirituality can be a lot of things to a lot of different people, whether it's through yoga, meditation, a formal religion like Christianity or Muslim, or anything like that. Caring for your soul is an important part. And we use the word soul in our secular work as a larger view of just your inner being, right? That person that you know is in there that makes up who you are. That's what we're generally speaking about when we use the word soul. But whatever it means to you and in your faith and your practice, this all still applies, because we've found that, you know, trying to define the word soul is a really complicated thing. But researchers just use the word and let people interpret it their own way. And it works for everybody across the board, no matter what their faith. So we find that interesting. But yeah, taking care of your soul is basically taking care of you, right? You have to put on your own mask first, as they say in the airplane, right? You're supposed to put on your own oxygen mask first. You cannot help people if you are drained, if you are exhausted, if you are, you know, not happy yourself. It's hard to help others when they're in trouble. So maintaining that spiritual reality connection, religious connection, is important to you.
Well, so, I tell people this all the time from, you know, back in 2001, when I struggled with my mental health, and people that are frequent listeners know, from having a $10 million company, losing it because of a flood, then having to file bankruptcy and losing my home because I put it up for the business loan and my wife left me and filed for divorce. I lost my business, home, and marriage in a 24-hour period, and I was suicidal. And yet one of the things that helped me get healthy again mentally and emotionally was going to church and showing up on. Right. Sometimes I would even go, the church I went to had Saturday night services, and I would go Saturday nights. And then sometimes, if it really spoke to me and encouraged me, I winded up going back on Sunday mornings because it was a safe place. It was good for my soul, as you said. One of the other big components of it, too, is just the social aspect. There were people there that I knew, so it got me out of that depression, hopeless state that I had. And I saw usually different people than I saw on Saturday night, on Sunday morning. Right. Or some of those that were there both like, hey, what are you doing here again? And yet, you know what? I didn't care, because it was part of me getting healthy.
Right. And in my own church, we talk about, you know, church being a family, and that's important. I think that that connection to others, the forced time with other people, can be really good for all of us. Yeah, and being part of something bigger, right? Knowing that you're part of something bigger. Absolutely. Has a big motivation. It makes maybe your own single problem is still bad and it still weighs heavy on you, but it makes you part of a bigger conversation. It's important.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we believe here in this program here that, you know, I speak for myself, not for Mental Health America of Kentucky, but I believe there is a God-sized shaped hole in all of us that only He can fill. And yet, you know, you can watch it on TV, watch it online, and I watch a lot of things, but there's something about being around other people at a church, singing music. A lot of times we talked about humor. There's jokes, people mm-hmm. That are speakers, all that. So there's just a lot of good components when you show up at your house of worship, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Definitely that humor piece is a big part of it. Also, in like even if you're just going to a yoga class, right, and you're just spiritual, maybe not religious, you're going to a yoga class, you've still got the camaraderie, the other people reinforcing your good habit is a really good thing. And yeah, just connecting with something bigger is important for all of us, whether you're atheist or not even. Like, you know, even atheists connect to something bigger, other people. So just, it's a big thing to say, talk about. And spiritual practices are linked to increasing the levels of feel-good chemicals like serotonin, dopamine, endorphins. They decrease cortisol, which is one of those nasty stress hormones, and noradrenaline, which is another one of them. They're all associated with stress, right? And it helps just combat that stress. It gives it a positive. And you got to counter those negative things with every positive that you can. We all have those issues. I find it interesting that 29% of Americans are both religious and spiritual. We also have 18% who are spiritual but not religious. So there's a lot of Americans who totally believe in something bigger than themselves, whatever that might be. And I think knowing that you're not alone, again, it's another way to reinforce that you're part of a bigger culture, your bigger community. We are humans and we need that. It's great to have alone time. You can be an introvert, but you also need to have some kind of social outreach.
Well, one of the things that I tell people quite often on this program is that, you know, when God sent Jesus, there was 12 guys that he chose to change the world with, and he could have done it by himself, but he didn't. And, you know, he chose 12, but then there were three guys in particular that he really did life with, Peter, James, and John. So I think we were created for community, and part of showing up at a house of worship, a place does that. Another thing that I think is important about the spiritual aspect of mental health is there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer at that. And, you know, I think the way we're all wired up, created as humans, that there is something about when we are helping others, it actually, even though we're trying to help them, it actually helps us, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And we know that that's a voluntary thing. If you're voluntarily employed, you know, helping your other people, that's going to give back to you even better. It does. And again, that combats those stress hormones. We know that it's good for your heart. It's good for your gut. It's good for everything about your mental health. So just knowing that, you know, obviously volunteering, you're dealing with people. There's always going to be some bumps in the road with that too. But, you know, being resistant and resilient through those processes is really important. So resistant to, you know, negative forces and learning resiliency and how to deal with others through a volunteer job can be really good and applicable elsewhere in the world.
Well, so. I think the thing that I'm learning about that, you know, like I said, the social aspect and helping when I was going through all my, just really felt overwhelmed in 2001. But one of the things I helped with now, this will show how long ago it was, our church actually had a cassette ministry. Like they make cassettes of the pastor's talks, the sermons. And back then, that was big. And so I used my business background to help them get a better deal because we actually were selling over 100 a weekend at the time and helped coordinate the volunteers. And so it kind of gave me a purpose, a meaning. You know, they were depending on me to be there Saturday nights to work that table after the services. And then I'd go back on Sunday mornings and do the same thing and built a team and developed relationships, some that are still friends now. That's been 18 years ago. So I love that, you know, part of that social aspect of volunteering also gives you a purpose that, you know, when sometimes you're struggling with mental health, man, if, you know, you might think, well, I got to show up because I have an obligation to do that.
That might be the reason you wake up that day. Exactly. Or the reason you take medication or go to your therapist is because you need to be okay to do this one thing that you really love to do. Yeah. And one of the other reinforcers of that is those people were with you during your dark time. They were with you, but they're not leaving you when you're out of your dark time, but they're not leaving you when you're in your happy time going into a dark one, right? Like, they're with you no matter what, because church family is church family, right? So they're there whether they want to be or not sometimes, but we all ride the waves together. And
absolutely.
It's that sense of togetherness, I think. And yeah, you're right, that sense of purpose combined.
Well, I remember I went to a conference one time. It's actually in Chicago with the church I went to. They asked some volunteers. They chose about 15 of us and went. And during the breaks, I was standing in line with one of the guys and didn't know him. And so we started talking. Hey, what do you do? The old, you know, I call it the guy thing, but I know ladies do it too, but guys usually, because they're bad at small talk, first thing, well, what do you do? And so I, you know, told him I was in a transition season. For him was, well, I'm actually on staff here. I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm embarrassed, I had no idea. But you know what, this guy winded up helping me get through this really tough mental health season for me, and we're still 18 years later really, really good friends. So once again, you know, it may not be the reason why you're showing up at your spiritual place, but a lifelong friendship developed out of that. So mm-hmm. there's lots of good side benefits, isn't there?
And you reached out, right? You opened the door, and he was able to help you because he realized that you needed help. And that's part of what we say is so important about our fight in the open and other goals for folks to be open about their mental health or open about their situation, you know? Yep.
What other tips come to mind as far as, you know, I guess we only got a couple minutes. Talk mm-hmm. a little bit about work-life balance, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, work-life balance, I always like to say, is this imaginary thing, right? We never really truly have balance, but you want to try to as best you can. But recognizing that it's not always achievable is step one for your own mental health, right? Like some days work is going to win, some days life is going to win, and that's okay. The balance is in the long run, not the short term. Run right. So if you're planning to do it every day of every minute, good luck.
Yeah. Right.
But
right.
Yeah, keep in that work life, but having good boundaries is kind of the key to work life, I think. Knowing when to turn off your phone for the day or stop looking at work email, stop working at times, stop working on Sunday, y'all.
Right.
It's Christian audience largely, right? Stop working on Sunday, stop working on Saturday.
Sure.
Take your times, take your vacations. Take that time off. Mm. That is really important for your brain to reset, to reprioritize its priorities, right? You don't want work to cover everything. As one of my lovely friends says, work does not love you back. Mm. You want to be a good worker. You do want to be there at work. You want to show up. You want to do good work. But you can do that best by not having to worry about your family because you took time to be with them when you needed to. So in the evening, you're taking time to take care of family. You're taking time to care for you. Taking that time out to spend time with friends. Now, whether that's every month, every day, every week, you know, that can depend on each person's needs and as well as your friend group and, you know, all that. How many friends do you have? Don't go out partying every night if you have a big family to take care of, right?
Right.
But at the same time, finding balance in that, taking time to take 15 minutes to laugh at something that you find funny that maybe your partner and your kids don't, right?
Sure.
So
absolutely.
Maybe your coworkers aren't into something and you are, go out, you know, and do the thing with your friends, go to the concert, go to church, go to that extra church event, and that kind of thing. It's important. But yeah, those boundaries are the real key to work-life balance. Just knowing to say, I'm done working at this moment, walk away. The world we live in with our phones in our pockets, it's so easy to tap back into some kind of level of work. Just don't do it. I mean, it's not that simple. It's really not. But setting up ways to turn off your phone, turn off apps, those kinds of things, log out of the email. Log out of Twitter, in my case. Since I run social media for a nonprofit, right, I log out of those accounts at night on the weekends because I have to. Otherwise, I'll feel like I have to respond to everybody.
Yep.
And you can't do that.
It's good boundaries. Yeah. I heard Mike Bro say one time, he suggested three things. He made it real simple. Even I can remember it. Daily divert. So taking the 15-minute break like you're talking, whatever that is, but just divert daily, just taking a mental break there from your work, from life, and then doing something that fills your tank, you said, weekly withdrawal, which talking about, you know, that one day of the week in the spiritual world, the church world, called a Sabbath, taking a Sabbath, and then annually, you know, abandoned, you know, taking a vacation or something, a week, you know, getting away and just kind of just something about changing our environment for a week, even, you know, if it's just going an hour away or something and staying with another friend, a family member. I mean, obviously a beach vacation is great if you like the beach or going to the mountains or something, but anything, just a change of environment. It's so therapeutic, isn't it?
It is definitely. I'll go to Red River Gorge or Mammoth Cave. You know, those are free except for travel costs, right? You can save up those travel costs and get out there no matter who you are. So those kinds of things are good. And, you know, we know walks in nature are also good for you. So that's kind of a twofer right there. But yeah, just physically removing yourself from your day to day means just start questioning it. You give yourself a break from things that are stressful. It's really crucial.
Well, Marcy Timmerman's been a great guest this week. Would encourage you to check out their website. It's mhaky.org. It's mhaky.org. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.